Well, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we're on the road at the Minnesota State Fair for the Military Appreciation Day. And the theme this year is our women veterans, so we're celebrating that all throughout the show. And I'm happy to say that we don't have a recorded generally speaking this year, or on this show, because we have the Adjutant General himself right here at the fair out on a rainy day. General, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Great to be here at the State Fair. Great to be here with you as well, even in the rain. You know, the nice thing about the rain, fewer people at State Fair. Lines are a lot smaller than they normally are, so it's another great Military Appreciation Day.
First time we've had a little rain, sir, but it's not as bad as monsoons in Vietnam or any of those things that we have to suffer through in the military.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what they say, you know, in the Army. If it ain't raining, it ain't training. So we're doing a little bit of training today.
Sir, yes, sir. A little training. Sir, this year's theme is women veterans, and women serve in greater and greater numbers in the military these days than they ever have.
No, that's absolutely true, in part because they're getting the opportunity to serve in different positions, more positions now. And so that's the key part, is ensuring that our female soldiers and airmen get the same opportunity as our male soldiers and our male airmen. And so, you know, every year coming into the State Fair, we want to pick a theme for the next year, and then spend about a year building up to that. And last year, shortly after State Fair, we decided that we wanted to honor our women veterans. I believe in Minnesota, 24,000 total women veterans across the state of Minnesota, and about 7% of the total veteran population, but a significant percentage of our population. So it's very important that we pause and thank them for their service and sacrifice as well. And so this year, it was a great fit, and we're proud of our women veterans and our women service members.
In general, as you know, we have the Minneapolis VA Medical Center on the show on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And when Director Kelly comes on, he's sent out a couple of people for us to talk to about the women's clinic at the Minneapolis VA Hospital. They keep expanding it and expanding it, which is really testimony to the fact that there's more and more women serving.
You know, Tom, that's a great segue to our morning speaker today. Navy Captain retired Kay Bauer. She was a nurse in the Navy, Vietnam veteran as well. And she talked about coming back from Vietnam, and the VA really didn't know what to do with women veterans. And now, you know, what you just mentioned, what Director Kelly has, and you know, here in Minneapolis VA Center, that's very important, because we're not all the same. We're all a little bit different in terms of, you know, whether it's your religion, your gender, you know, where you served, what your service was, and the more that we can refine that, the more we can pinpoint that for people in their service, the more effective I think we are in terms of serving our veterans.
In general, back in those days, the VA didn't know what to do with the guys either. But there was mostly guys that served in Vietnam,
yeah,
other than some nurses that served over there, and they,
yeah,
did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure the VA said, what are we going to do with you? But I'm told that the Minneapolis VA is doing a marvelous job now. They can do anything they need to help women except deliver babies, and they'll still pay for that on the outside. They still give them prenatal care,
yeah,
postnatal care. And from what I've heard and what they tell me at the Minneapolis VA, they're doing a marvelous job. So
yeah, that's great to hear, Tom. It really is. Like I said, you know, we're all individuals. We all have our own specific item that maybe we need help with or need some assistance with. And it's great that they're reaching out to all parts of our veteran population.
So, General, the women's participation in the military goes back a long way, but their participation today is pretty much on an equal basis. Every job is open to them now, sir?
Yeah, since 2016, really, for the Army anyway, we opened up all of our MOSs to our female soldiers, both on the officer side and on the enlisted side. So, you know, we're going to have female infantrymen, female armor personnel. We already have women in the field artillery. And so that's good. I think it's a great thing for the Minnesota Army National Guard. I think it's a great thing for the Army that we expand those opportunities. And the people that can serve in those positions, we give everybody who can serve in those positions and who want to serve in those positions the opportunity to do that.
So they go from airman to or soldier to generals. You've got general officers in both the Army National Guard and the Air National Guard.
Yep, yeah.
So you've got them throughout your command.
Yeah, Brigadier General Joe Clyborn on the Army side and Brigadier General Sandy Best on the Air side. So, yeah, we're blessed with that. We're blessed with Chief Command Master Sergeant Erickson up in Duluth, as well as our command chief up in Duluth. So that's great. You know, our female soldiers and airmen serve throughout the organization. And what I like to say is, you know, it's not about this one. It's not about that one. It's we just have so many now that are serving in leadership positions. It's hard to point them out by name because there's just so many of them. And so I know it's made us a better organization. You know, General Nash was a strong proponent of diversity in the organization. And this, you know, we've continued that. We're going to continue to do that because it makes our organization a better organization. We're better served as citizens and as taxpayers if all of our citizens get the opportunity to serve in every role in the military. So
we're speaking with Major General John Jensen from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day on Minnesota Military Radio. General, we're going to talk to Command Sergeant Major Erickson in the next segment. But right now we've got Command Sergeant Major Kessler with us from the 133rd. And Sergeant Major? And Sergeant Major, your air. Command Chief. Master, Chief Master Sergeant. I was in the Air Force, and I don't even know this. Command Chief Master Sergeant.
There we go.
I've been hanging out with these soldiers for way too long.
I thought I got it right, and I'm the Army guy, Tom, and I knew you were getting it wrong, but I wasn't going to say anything because it is your show.
We'll clean it up, sir. We'll clean it up.
That's good.
Chief, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How's everything going for the 133rd Airlift Wing?
It's going great. On the same theme, we work very closely with a lot of females at a lot of different levels, and it's just a joy to work and mentor with them and for them, and that communication process. It's awesome.
So the women have become a huge part of the airmen in the 133rd and the 148th.
Absolutely. It's like the general said, it's not even noticed at this point anymore.
Right.
It's just that they're such a part of our team. You know, they're 23% of the air wings in the state of Minnesota and at all levels. So you really don't even notice that it's you're working with women or not.
We couldn't do what we do today without their service. And I was out just a couple weekends ago for the family day out at the 133rd and to see all those young families and all those service members, you know, really gives you an appreciation for the 133rd because it's very rare that they're all together in one spot.
Right.
You know, they're kind of broken up on the air base. So the opportunity to see not just our airmen, but their families was just an amazing sight.
And Chief, I understand the folks from Serving Our Troops were there.
They were. And they gave us a fantastic lunch and it was a great day.
John Cassetta
Mancini?
Nope, I missed it. It's from Colossal Cafe. John Tanucci. I'm sorry.
Yep.
John Tanucci from Colossal Cafe and the Serving Our Troops team came out and supported that event. So, great food. But it was a great day all around.
That organization is kind of handy to have around, isn't it, General?
Yeah, they're great supporters of our service members. I mean, they really are, and of our families as well. I know we're going to do a big event with them September 20th when the 34th Infantry Division mobilizes and begins their deployment to the CENTCOM AOR. And we'll do a big event at St. Paul, so we're excited about that. It's been a little while since we've had a big event with them there in St. Paul, and you know that's their hometown, so they always do it really well there.
Steak dinner and all the trimmings for the troops and the families.
And the families, yes. And so, you know, it's a great way. Having gone through that once before as a deploying soldier, that event meant so much to us, to have the community come out the way they did, to have our elected officials come out the way they did, and to recognize us as well as our families as well. It's just a wonderful, wonderful event.
Chief, that had to be great to have them out there helping serve and pull together your family day.
It did. It's amazing how many people they run through in a line
in a short
day.
Period of time.
Well over 2,000 people, and it's just amazing.
Well, they're a great partner to have around to help when you need them.
Yeah.
General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to meet Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson from the 148th. I'll get that straight. If you can get it straight and you're in the Army, I can get it straight. I was the Air Force, so Chief Kessler, my apologies for messing that up.
No worries.
This is Minnesota Military Radio from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today we're on the road at the Minnesota State Fair on the occasion of Military Appreciation Day, and the theme this year is Women Veterans. And we've been joined by a special co-host today, Brigadier General John Jensen, who is the Adjutant General of the Minnesota. And General Jensen, it's quite a theme this year. I know a couple of years ago we featured Vietnam veterans and had a bunch of those folks out here, and my understanding is there's a lot of women veterans on the grounds of the state fair today.
Yeah, you can see them, and this morning when we did the opening ceremony, it was great to see all of them there. Our main speaker was a female Vietnam veteran, retired Navy captain, Kay Bauer, and you know, she had her own little fan club there and was very popular. Her stories really resonated, not just with female veterans, but I think all veterans too. You know, as we all know, you know, service is hard, but there's a little bit of humor hidden in service too. And she had a couple great stories that had the crowd rolling this morning. So it was a great introduction to Kay and her story.
Sounds good, sir. And from our first segment, you've got me convinced that when you take a look at your command and all your airmen and soldiers, it's not about gender. It's about who's doing the job and who's next up to do the job. And that's refreshing to hear that we've come that far in the last 4 or 5 decades.
Yeah, it's, you know, for me, it's about opportunity. We have to give everybody an opportunity to be successful, to be the soldier that they want to be the airman that they want to be. We haven't always done that in the military. You know, we've held certain jobs away from our female population, and now we're opened up, kind of following the Air Force a little bit since, you know, 1993. Female pilots have been able to fly in a combat role. It took the Army a little while to catch up with that. So just since 2016, have we opened up all of our assignments to female soldiers, and so I think it's an exciting time to be a service member, but especially to be a female service member right now.
In general, we're pleased to have another guest with us today. It's Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson from the 148th Fighter Wing. Chief, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Now, can you explain to us Command Chief Master Sergeant 148th? What's that position?
I'm the senior enlisted advisor to the wing commander, so I keep him abreast of all the problems, issues, and successes that the enlisted folks bring to him. So I'm his voice.
So the officers decide what they need to do, and you have to figure out a way to get it done.
Sometimes it's the other way around. Sometimes we help them make their decisions. There's more of us than there is of them, so they usually listen to our voice.
Chief, how long have you been in the military?
30 years, sir.
And I'm just an old NCO, so you don't have to serve me, Chief. And as command chief up at the 148th, that means you work side by side with the wing commander and try to make sure all the trains run on time. Planes run on time.
All of our planes take off and land at the same time as scheduled, yes. And for the first time, I'm full-time. I get to be a full-time command chief, so that's a very exciting opportunity for me, and I get to work with him every day, Monday through Friday. He might regret that decision in a few years after having me around for so long, but that's okay.
I got a feeling he won't, Chief. Now, I understand that you had about 400 airmen and some planes return recently.
Absolutely.
On a mission.
Absolutely. We had a number of people deployed. We had not just our AEF, but we also had what we call an RCP, a reserve component period, where we had a number, about 120-some airmen throughout the Southeast Asia CENTCOM area. So if you could take a bucket and sprinkle it across the CENTCOM, we had pretty much an airman in every one of those areas.
So, of course, the Air Force doesn't tell us where they went exactly.
No, we can't tell you exactly. I could just tell you what CENTCOM we were, and we were very successful, and we brought most of them home. A few have stayed, and we have a few more over there, but majority of our folks are home safe and sound, along with our jets, safe and sound.
That's very good. Now, how long was that deployment?
There was one that was 90 days, and there was another group that were 6 months. So we had a bunch of airmen. Look at me.
I know.
A bunch of airmen deployed for 6 months.
Well, it's hard not to say soldier when you're sitting next to the adjutant
general. The boss.
The boss. There you go.
Yes.
And he's being very gracious.
He's
sitting in between two command chiefs from the air side.
I'm protected that way, Tom. I'm protected that way.
Sir, yes, sir. I believe it. So tell us a little bit about the capabilities of the 148th Fighter Wing.
Well, we have the F-16 up there. We're loud and proud, and we have a great legacy of excellence that we have always worked to and continue to work to. In fact, we've just brought back our second female pilot to our wing in the last month. So we had a female pilot probably about 5 years ago, and she retired, and now we just brought our second one in, and we have two more in the pipeline. So our legacy of excellence continues with the women flying those aviation, the jets for us. So we're very excited about that.
This is Minnesota Military Radio, and we're on the road today from the State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And, Chief, the theme out here today is women veterans. There's more and more of them.
Yes, there is. And what was really neat to see is all the older women veteran, because we don't normally get to see them. And it's great to hear their stories, and they've approached us, and I've had probably five or six women pull me aside and just tell me their story today. So I'm really glad that I got the opportunity to come down here in uniform, and then they can come talk to us and ask us questions. I've had quite a few people ask what everything means on our sleeve, because our rank is quite different from the Army, and I don't think they've seen it like this. And like we were talking earlier, the command chief is a new position to the Air Force from the Vietnam era, and a lot of those women had no idea what my rank meant. So I've had some good conversations today with a lot of women, and I'm very, very thankful to walk in the shoes that they have, and they've laid great, great, great tradition for us.
And I think that's important, Tom, our newer veterans getting the opportunity to talk to, like, for example, the Vietnam veterans and hear their stories and their struggles and how they have succeeded through those as well. And so, you know, I think it's just a great opportunity for our female soldiers and airmen to be out here today and be recognized not just by the state and by the community, but by their fellow veteran.
General, I think back in my day, the women veterans had the women military had to have a little more resilience than they do today. I think they're more well accepted in their positions. And as you say, you don't think about the gender anymore. You think about the job and the opportunity and let's get to work. Chief, how many women do you have in a 148th?
Ooh, that's just a stump. Offhand, I would probably say 200, probably 200 females
out of about 1,000.
Yes,
well, that's a pretty good ratio.
We have four female chiefs at the wing, so that's up in the high end of chiefs for us. We've had that before. I think we had four chiefs before, maybe in the early 2000s, and now we're back up to having four chiefs, maybe five coming here by the end of the year.
Chief, when I was in, I never saw that many stripes on any NCO. You've changed all that stuff.
They do change it quite a bit, yes. Yes.
So across the Minnesota National Guard, our Air National Guard is about 26% female. Our Army Guard is a little less than that. We're a little less than 20%, in part because a lot of our jobs weren't available to female soldiers until just recently. So overall, though, about 21% of our soldiers and airmen across the state are female, and that continues to grow every year.
General, I understand that across the nation that some of these states are having trouble with their recruiting, but Minnesota, we've done a pretty good job on that for many years. Is that still going well?
And
what are you looking for, diversity? Men, women?
We're committed to diversity inside the organization as one of our core values. And what we're looking for is young men and young women who want to serve their country, who want to serve their state, and are looking for an opportunity to do that, as well as experience some other things in their life. I mean, in my 36 years of service, I've traveled all over the world because of my military service. And that's one of the benefits that we provide, as well as, you know, our traditional educational benefits, student loan, tuition reimbursement, things like that. But really, it's we're looking for people who want to serve their community, serve their state, serve their country.
Chief Kessler, on the air side, there's plenty of opportunity for everybody, isn't there?
Always. We have lots of opportunity for people, a lot of different talents and technical skills that they can learn. And that's one of the things we really try to do is when they come to us and they want to become an airman, we really look at what will make them tick over the long haul and what they like to do for their career.
And they can pick up some education and experience that when they're not working on the weekends, they can take that back to the civilian world and get a job.
Absolutely.
Chief, I would guess up in Duluth that you're drawing all kinds of folks up there.
We do. I'm a former recruiter as well, so I used to call myself a recovering recruiter. We have a lot of bright, bright people, young kids up in that air, up in the northern tier that we really, we don't have to look far. They're usually standing at the gate waiting for us to open the gate, and then they come in and they're very excited to serve, and it's a whole new generation coming in. We don't need to throw a lot of benefits at them. They're just looking for trying new things and getting into see other parts of the world and what they can do.
Chief
so it's
Erickson,
very interesting.
Chief Kessler, thanks for joining us today. General, we got about a minute left. You got some pretty talented people out there on the air side helping you manage all of this.
We do. And, you know, one of the highlights of being the adjutant general is I get to spend a lot more time with the Air Guard. As I mentioned, I was with the 133rd in their family event a couple of weeks ago in September. I'll be up in Duluth to spend some time with those airmen and families as well. And so we're blessed to have the two wings that we have, the quality that they are, you know, a fighter wing and an airlift wing. So even inside the Air Force, you know, those two missions are pretty diverse as well. And so we're very, very lucky to have these two wings.
Well, sir, as the boss, you've got the opportunity to spend some time with the air side that you maybe didn't have in the past.
Yeah, exactly right. That's exactly right.
And they've got good records with their F-16s and with the C-130s and do a wonderful job for us here in Minnesota.
A very strong national reputation. When I talk to the national leadership of the United States Air Force and the Air National Guard, they know about the 148th and the 133rd, absolutely.
General, I'd like to thank you for joining us today. Any final thoughts for us?
No, you know, we all wish the sun was out maybe a little bit today, but it's still a great day at the fair. Thanks for coming out and spending part of the day with us. And, you know, today we're honoring and celebrating our women veterans, and it's a great day.
Thank you, General.
Absolutely.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road today at the Minnesota State Fair for the occasion of the Military Appreciation Day. And the theme out here this year is Women Veterans. We've been talking about that last week and this week. And we've learned that there are more women serving today than ever before. And all the jobs are open, any kind of job that they want. And joining me for the first part of this segment is Lieutenant Colonel Jennifer Beck-Brown. Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Colonel, I understand that you serve as Deputy Staff Judge Advocate for the Minnesota National Guard's 34th Red Bull Infantry Division, and you're preparing for another deployment.
That's true. In a couple weeks from now, we will be going to the Middle East, and I'll be taking over 20 attorneys and paralegals with me over there.
And your full-time job when you're not in the Army is a prosecutor for Hennepin County. How does Hennepin County deal with the fact that you're going to be gone for a while?
You know, at any time that anybody talks about employer, Hennepin County is like the standard. The people there are fantastic. Mike Freeman is the elected official there. Him and everybody else in the office are unbelievably supportive. This career, my employer as well as my family, I couldn't do it without both of them. I wish that every single employer that had a National Guard soldier was able to have an employer like I have.
Well, you're lucky on that cause, Colonel. How long have you been in the military?
It's 25 years in November.
Does it seem like it's been that long?
It has been fantastic. There's been so many different experiences in the last 25 years. You know, I initially came in and, you know, before I was 20 years old, and I was enlisted. I was a truck driver initially, and then, you know, getting help with school. And, you know, as my career went on, the military helped me with school financially and, you know, helped me with discipline as well. And as time went on, I decided I was going to go to law school again, continued to help me financially, and then got in as a paralegal in the JAG section and then was commissioned as an attorney in the JAG Corps. It's been fantastic.
So you started out enlisted and then was commissioned later?
Yes.
And what law school did you go to?
William Mitchell.
Mm-hmm. So I bet that was night school.
So I went night school for most of it, you know, because I was working too. And I was a parent at the time. And, you know, between the military and William Mitchell and being a parent, I was, you know, very busy.
Colonel, I see you're out here with some of your family today. This is going to be your third deployment?
It is going to be my third deployment out of the country.
And how does that impact your family, and how tough is that?
You know, I always tell people, like, try and imagine being away from your family for a year, and then, you know, imagine how difficult it is and how much you're going to miss them. Now time's up by 10, and that's what it feels like. It's hard. It's really hard. My husband and the way how good he is to my kids and how well he takes care of everybody, I owe him so much. And then my kids, same thing. They are absolutely fantastic. One of the things that we've learned over the deployments, when we start talking about deployments, we'll talk about my time being gone. But another thing that we really focus on is a trip when we get back. And so, and we talk about that all the time. And it kind of helps to take the shift off of being gone for so long.
Now, Colonel, many decades ago when I was in Vietnam, there wasn't much contact with the family back here, but except by letters, unless there was an emergency and then the Red Cross would find us. Does today's technology make it tougher, or is it easier?
It is so funny that you say that, because I think about my first deployment where I had to wake up in the middle of the night and stand in line in a hallway waiting for a phone on the wall. And, you know, the great Americans here would, like, send us these little cards, these little 15-minute cards. And so there would be a line of us at 2 a.m. standing for the only phone, waiting to use our card so we could call home. Now this time, it sounds like I'll be able to contact them like text messages, like real time. They'll be able to talk to me, and I'll be able to send them back and forth pictures. It's crazy.
Maybe
the difference.
Maybe try a little Skype, something like that.
We'll definitely do that as well. But the difference, like your experience and like what I'm getting ready to experience, it makes it so much easier because you know what's going on.
See, I thought at the time I was single, but I could focus on the mission.
That's
not
true.
Have any distractions.
You know what? You're right. There is that piece of it as well. It can go either way.
Well, I hope you have a great deployment, Colonel. We have listeners all over the state of Minnesota and probably some young ladies thinking about, would I want to have a career in the military? What would you have to say to them?
You know what? When I initially came into the military, as I said before, I was, you know, was looking for school money. And the military has helped me out for decades with that. But it's been so much more than that. I've gotten to travel the world, meet amazing friends. I have insurance coverage, you know, like all the extra benefits, plus this like part-time job that I just love. It's meant different things to me over my career, but I would encourage anybody, whether you're 18 or 22 or 30, thinking about it, I would definitely look into it because it's great.
And a whole new set of friends, a whole new family of military friends.
It's so true.
Very good. Colonel, can you stay with us for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
We want to meet now First Sergeant Katie Blackwell. First Sergeant, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Can you tell us how long have you been in the Army?
Just over 20 years.
Just over 20 years?
Mm-hmm.
My goodness. And I understand you've been deployed how often?
I've deployed a couple times to Bosnia and Iraq.
Bosnia and Iraq. And one of your deployments for almost 2 years, I understand you were the Convoy Escort Team NCOIC and Scout Vehicle Truck Commander on 168 combat escort missions throughout the Iraqi theater. And sometime during there, you managed to get one of your trucks blown up.
A couple of trucks, actually, throughout the deployment.
What happened?
The first one, we actually hit a small. A convoy escort team is when we ran about 40 to 60 trucks and nonstop running fuel supplies throughout the country. And we're coming through Baghdad, and we hit a small IED, improvised explosive device, and it didn't do much damage to our Humvee. So when we kept going, and then we looked up and saw a pothole in the middle of the road, and we swerved around it. My driver did, and because he's left-handed, he went left, and we hit the improvised explosive device that was sitting to the left of the pothole.
So they set a little trap for you.
Yeah, we always give
them. Pothole and boom.
Yeah, yep, and then boom, it went off, and our truck was burning and burned down, so we had to put out the fire and go to the Baghdad International Airport for the hospital.
Turned out everybody was okay?
Yep, just minor injuries.
And you earned a Purple Heart out of that.
I did.
So I hope it was a minor injury. And you're still here and you're still going at it.
Yep, still going at it.
How do those deployments, how do you reflect on those when you think about your career in the military? And of course, you made it to First Sergeant. You're on your way. Does it slow you down any? Does it give you any concern?
No, it doesn't slow me down. Deployments are kind of good, bad. And my husband was over there with me. And we'd see each other about every, 8 to 10 days. Usually on passing, or they would help our convoy out, or we'd help theirs. But we became such good friends over there because our missions would run so long. And, you work together, sleep in the same tents together, you're eating together. So you're almost, you're closer to them sometimes than your own family.
First Sergeant, I have to ask you, our theme out here today is women veterans. And I've been to Kuwait with the radio show a couple of times, and there's a lot of women military over there. Has it become normal? Has it become easier for women to deploy and go to the desert and do all of these things? Are you accepted now?
I think so. I think it's a little different back in 2006 when I was there, but they accepted women in these roles because we're military police. We're always in an integrated unit, and I think now that there's more and more women joining combat units or combat support units, so I think it's going very well.
Well, the reports we get are that it's becoming normal, or the new normal.
It always seemed normal to me. So
4 decades ago, there weren't many women in the military, so it's changed quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I'm happy to see we've got Lieutenant Colonel here. You're here. You're a First Sergeant. We had a Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson here, and the women are from Colonel. They're from top to bottom. And the General tells me that gender is not a factor anymore. It's who's next up and who's prepared and who's trained and who can do the job.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. That's definitely the goal. I hope it's implemented throughout the division. I know that our leadership puts a lot of effort into making that just the case. And hopefully our commanders at all level are following through with that.
So we're talking about the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division is going to deploy for the best part of a year to Kuwait.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And somewhere around 700 soldiers. Do you have any idea how many of those are women?
I really don't. I would be completely guessing.
26%.
26%.
Our military producer tells us 26%. Sergeant Ben is here from Public Affairs Office, so I assume that's a pretty good number. So I've been over to the desert with Sergeant Ben and went with Sergeant Angelo as well, and the quarters look like they're pretty well laid out. Our military knows how to make themselves comfortable, whatever the conditions are, even in the desert, right?
That's true.
First Sergeant, is that correct?
I think so. Somewhat.
As comfortable as you can be.
It's hot.
We've seen a lot of air conditioning.
Just put sand in front of your blow dryer and put it in your face. That's what it feels like.
But there's some air conditioning, plenty of water, coffee whenever you need it. It's funny. It's funny to be in the middle of the desert and here's a coffee shop so you can get plenty of coffee. Well, Colonel, I hope you have a great deployment and a safe deployment and come home quickly to your family. And First Sergeant, what would you have to say to our listeners if they were thinking about a career in the military?
Join.
It's simple.
First Sergeant money.
Says, join.
Join. It's a great stepping ground to get where you want to go. And it's not just the benefits, the education and all that. It's the friends you meet, the networking that you do, the places you get to travel, even on training missions and experience. It helps build your confidence and you meet a lot of mentors in the military that can help pull you through from a young age. So if you ain't got nothing going on and you know that you don't have the money to go to college, join the military like I did.
Looking back on it, after having gone out on 168 combat escort missions, did you ever think when you were growing up you'd be able to do that?
No, but it was awesome. And
and you've proven it now.
it's been wonderful. I have had a wonderful career.
Very good. Well, First Sergeant Blackwell and Colonel Beck Brown, thanks for joining us today at Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about Wells Fargo and a car giveaway at the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're on the road today at the Minnesota State Fair on the occasion of Military Appreciation Day. And we're going to meet some guests in a moment and talk about a car giveaway. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly message from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shelton.
Duty, honor, pride. These words reflect the spirit of generations of American women who have sought to defend the rights and freedoms of others. For years, women have been serving in the military alongside their male comrades as equals. However, their service often goes unrecognized. It's important that we take time to pay tribute and recognize the service and sacrifice of our women veterans in Minnesota. Make it your mission to thank a woman veteran for her service.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We're joined today by three guests to talk about a car giveaway. We've got Ken Eakes, Executive Director of Military Warrior Support Foundation, Jerry Bowen, Head of Dealer Relationships and Production for Wells Fargo Auto, and Matt Oquist, Community Engagement Coordinator for Luther Automotive Group. Gentlemen, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Jerry, you're at. I'm going to start with you, and you look like you're ready to go. I understand that Wells Fargo and the Military Warrior Support Foundation are working together to donate a vehicle to a local wounded combat veteran.
We are. It's an honor to be here and to be a part of the program. We've been
working with the Military Warrior Support Foundation for a couple of ways, trying to serve their mission, and primarily in a couple of ways. It really started back in 2012, and since 2012, in working with their Homes for Wounded Warriors, we've been able to provide or donate over 350 homes in all 50 states, and you know, we think the value of those homes is a little over $55 million, and so you know, we're pleased to be able to do that and support those very deserving veterans. And in 2015, we expanded the program where we actually started to work with the Military Warrior Support Foundation for the transportation needs of some of the veterans. And since 2015, we've contributed over 10 vehicles. We're on track to contribute over 12 this year, and we look forward to doing more in the future. And we're very appreciative to work with the Luther Automotive Group to give one away today.
Ken, you look like you're bursting at the seams to tell us how you got involved in this and the vehicle program.
Well, it's because I have so much pride in what's being done, and it is an honor to be out here today. And thank you, I guess, to the good Lord for stopping the rain, because it's been raining all day, but it looks like a great finish here. But we are just so pleased to work with the Transportation for Heroes program with Wells Fargo. It also has an interesting component to it. As you know, as a veteran, that there are transitions challenging back to in transition back to civilian life, there's difficulties, right, at times for many. And we have a two-year mentoring program in which that we put the veteran through. While it's a payment-free vehicle, it's not commitment-free. We ask them to join a program in which if they're going to get a peer-to-peer mentor for 2 years, and we help them with things like finances, family issues, counseling where needed, where we really come around and wrap around services around that veteran and their needs.
So by participating in that program, they kind of earn the right to drive this vehicle.
Absolutely. The vehicle is incredible, and thank you to the Luther Auto Group and to Wells Fargo for that. But it allows us to do what we do best, which is to help transition back to civilian life.
Well, let's talk to Matt from the Luther Automotive Group. Matt, I saw a photo. I haven't seen the vehicle, but it looks like it was kind of wrapped pretty nice.
It looks really nice. It's just on the other side of the bridge right here. We were excited to get the call from Wells Fargo to join with them in partnership to honor one of our local military veterans. We jumped at the chance. We asked our team, what else could we do? And they came up with the idea to wrap it. It's a beautiful American flag logo around the vehicle. And then we also wanted to put Military Warrior Support Foundation on there because many people in Minnesota hadn't heard of them. And we made sure to put their website on there as well so people could go on there and apply to be the next recipient.
Was there any room for Wells Fargo left?
There's Wells Fargo and Luther Auto on the hood as well.
All right, we got to get that covered. Jerry, I want to come to you. How do you choose the veteran?
Well, actually, you know, we work with Ken and the Military Warrior Support Foundation. They go through a pretty extensive process that Ken can probably elaborate on and give you a lot more color than I can. But they come to us and say, look, we have found a deserving veteran in a certain part of the organization or the country, and we think they've gone through the right process and protocols. And, you know, if you, Wells Fargo, are willing to participate in the Transportation for Heroes program, we've got somebody that we'd like to match up with you.
So, Kenny, pass that off to you. How do you pick the veteran?
He did that very fast and very good. But we pick the veteran by application process. They go onto the intranet, so militarywarriors.org, if you're interested in our program, where we have vehicles as well as homes, other services that we provide. And that then gets processed similar to an application for a job, if you will. We may get 5 applications for a vehicle. Our group will take and internalize that information and then turn that into a couple of finalists. And we have a selection committee, that will make the final selection.
Okay, and Matt, how did you get dragged into this group?
Well, this is our first time participating with Wells Fargo calling us, knowing that we're a local partner with theirs on many of the business offerings that we have. We were just really excited to find another way to serve a veteran in our community in addition to the other things that we've done.
And what type of vehicle is it this year?
This year it's a Mazda CX-9. There's a white one up there that's wrapped. Unfortunately, that won't be the one that's going to the veteran. We got them a little bit better one. We got them a blue CX-9 GT, so they'll get to take a nice fancy one home as well.
So this one's just for photo ops up here.
It is pretty much for photo ops.
All right, I should have known with the three of you all dressed up and ready to go.
Well, and we're at 3:45 today on the Dan Patch stage. We're going to be awarding that home, and it's quit raining, by the way, so please join us because we'll be honoring Lieutenant Troy Saylor with this vehicle, who's right here from the Twin Cities.
So it's U.S. Army First Lieutenant retired Tory
Saylor. Yes, sir. You got that.
Who's going to receive this car? and participate in your programs for the next couple of years.
That's right.
All right, Matt, we haven't given you much time to talk. How does Luther feel about this whole program?
We're really excited about this program because we know that there are people out there giving more than we ever could to protect us and to keep our country safe. And for us to be able to find a way where we can come alongside those people, support them with one of the things that we offer vehicles, we're excited to be a part of it.
We still have people in harm's way, and we're sending about 700 Red Bull soldiers over to Kuwait next month. And so we need to keep in mind that there are people out there risking their lives for our country so that we can enjoy days like today at the Minnesota State Fair and eat all kinds of stuff we probably shouldn't eat. Yes, Jerry, sir. I started with you. I'm going to end with you. Wells Fargo, this sounds like a great program in addition to your home program, which I assume is still going.
It is.
And we got about 30 seconds left. Final thoughts?
Well, you know, it's a terrific program. And, we're excited about what we've been able to do since 2012 on the home front. Like I said, over 350 homes. And we're equally excited about what we've been able to do now to help on the transportation needs. As we've gotten to know the Military Warrior Support Foundation a little better, we realize that there's a great need on the transportation side, and we look forward to helping them in the future.
Gentlemen, good work, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Command Chief Master Sergeant Paul Kessler, Command Chief Master Sergeant Lisa Erickson, Lieutenant Colonel Jennifer Brown, First Sergeant Katie Blackwell, Ken Ekus, Jerry Bowen, and Matt Oquist, Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we meet this year's commanders from the Commander's Task Force on the road at Federal Premium Ammunition. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.